microphone. All right. My name is Trish Short Lewis. I'm 59 years old. Today is Sunday, December 30th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my sister, Sharon Hannaford. We are recording this interview in Darien, Illinois. And what's your name? I already did that. Never mind. Can you tell me about someone who had the most influence or most important person in your life?
That's a hard question to answer because there's really many people that were an important influence. I would say that one of the earliest ones was probably my grandmother, Elizabeth Fitzpatrick. She lived just a couple of blocks down from our house, and I grew up around her, and she was a strong influence in terms of being a very hard worker and believing in a very strong work ethic, which of course influenced my mother. Mm-hmm. And just seeing my grandmother deal with all of the struggles and challenges of life as it came to her was a strong influence on me in terms of perseverance. I would say probably the next person that was a strong influence was Pastor Scobie, who I had as a pastor when I was in high school. He was a strong spiritual influence. Then the next person would be my husband, William Hannaford, who I married in 1970, but started dating in 1967. And he was a very strong influence, I think, in helping me to develop into a more people-oriented person and being interested in developing more of my social personality. Whereas before I was probably more of an introvert and I was more interested just in books and learning, but because of the nature of his personality and the kind of work that we were involved with, I got to enjoy being around people and learning how to develop relationships. The next person after that would also be a lady in one of our churches by the name of Jeanette Lindbergh. She was a strong influence on me in terms of hospitality and in teaching me how to make people welcome in my home and in terms of some of the niceties of developing a hospitable environment. But last of all, I suppose on the spiritual plane, I would say that my relationship to God through his son, Jesus Christ, had a great influence on me in terms of my values and how I looked at life.
Mm. What was the happiest moment of your life?
Oh, that's always a hard question for me to answer because I've never been a super emotional person where there's like one time where this is the happiest. I think one of the happiest moments was graduating from college. The next happiest was getting married to my wonderful husband. I would say graduating from law school. But I think probably most of all was getting married to Bill.
And what was, looking back on your life, one of your saddest moments?
I would say finding my husband and finding out that he had passed away. I checked on him in the middle of the night and I couldn't get him awake and I had to call the paramedics, and that was just very, very sad because even though he was in poor health, we were not expecting this to happen, and that was really the saddest moment of my life.
Okay, that was that one. What are you proudest of?
I would say the proudest I would be, on a personal note, would be graduating from law school, but even more important than that, passing the Illinois bar for the first time. Let me tell you, not everybody does. I had a close friend who was at the top of our class, and he stayed working and only took a little time to review, and he didn't pass the first time. So I was very happy to pass it the first time. That was the proudest for me. And the second was I took the securities license series 7, which is almost as bad as taking the bar, and I passed it the first time too. So those were two accomplishments that I was very happy to achieve.
How would you like to be remembered?
I guess I'd like to be remembered as a person who was consistent in their values in terms of it's hard. There's so much I could say. I guess being disciplined, a hard worker, basically following the values that my parents and grandparents instilled in us, and being faithful to my Lord in terms of his desires for me, and learning to be a person that continues to grow, because I don't think that you ever reach your full potential. I think we're always growing and learning, and I want to be seen as a person that always does that, and a person that cares for other. And I think I'm trying to learn to do that more and more in life, going from being a person that was a doer to a person that cares for people. So I'd hope to be remembered that way as well, not only for what I accomplished in out there in the world, but also for the kind of person that I developed into, because I think that's important.
Okay. If this was to be our very last conversation, is there anything you'd want to say to me that you haven't said?
Well, Trish, I don't know where you stand spiritually, and I guess that's a conversation that we should have, but I know your convictions and your commitment at an earlier age, and I just want to say that we need to have that connection to eternity, and some of the questions that follow may get into that, but I just think that it's so important that we know where we're headed.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I understand that point of view. For your great-great-grandchildren listening to this years from now, is there any wisdom you'd like to pass on to them? What would you want them to know?
Well, I think that it's important to live in the moment. So often when we're young, we tend to look to the future. We're always planning, and I'm not against planning, that's not what I'm saying, but so often you're so preoccupied in thinking about the future that you don't enjoy the moment and enjoy the relationships and the people around you, and think to ask questions. I know that I and my sisters have often thought we wish we could ask our parents and grandparents questions that we didn't think about when we were young, because we were always looking to the future. And then I would say, on a spiritual plane, I would say I would want to live in the moment in God's presence, trusting and thanking him. And by that I mean that it's connecting with eternity, not just thinking about the physical world around us, but as we go about my daily task, I like to think about that God is with me, and if I have anything, I can talk to him in my thoughts, I can thank him for the beauty of nature, I can try to see things from his perspective, and by doing that, I'm connecting with eternity. I'm not just connecting with the things around me on a physical plane, which are going to disappear ultimately. And I think that's really important, because we're ultimately headed for an eternal destination, and so that would be something. And then on another plane, I would want my great-grandchildren to see the importance of hard work and honesty and being faithful to the values that they hold dear, and that would be something that's very important. And to remember their heritage and legacy, and to look back on their family history and see the value of what their forefathers have, and their parents and their grandparents have struggled to do. Because as we look back and think about our grandparents and our parents and what they sacrificed for us, then we can appreciate our presence and future.
Who has been the kindest person to you in your life?
Well, I hope I'm not forgetting somebody. I'm sure there have been many people, but I would say my dear husband, Bill, was the kindest person because he was kind to me in so many ways, to put up with my personality and my idiosyncrasies. and he, when I was going back to school, I mean, he many kind things he did for me in terms of typing my papers and remembering to do things for me. And even from the very beginning when we were dating, he was kind enough to help me go on a trip to England with my English professor, and he helped with that. And so there was just so many little things and big things that he was just really very kind and thoughtful.
What would you say are the most important life lessons that you've learned in life?
Well, I think for me, it's try to be life lessons is to be more patient. I am not a patient person, and I think the life lesson, it is important to be patient, hold your tongue, because sometimes that can get you into trouble. And I would say, don't give up. A lot of times you may fail at something, but if you're persistent, ultimately you will achieve what is good for you. Just don't give up. Just keep at it, you know. Those are some of them anyway.
What is your earliest memory?
My earliest memory is that I can think of was when I was very, very small, remembering that my parents and grandparents were outside killing chickens, and then were putting them in boiling water and a terrible smell, and then these chickens hopping around with their heads cut off.
Oh my.
That was one of the earliest. I guess it was because it was so dramatic. That is, I do remember that.
What is your favorite memory of me?
I would say my favorite memory of you is with your horse. Yeah, and the pride you took in taking care of your horse and riding your horse and showing him off. Yeah.
Are there any funny stories that our family has told about you that come to mind?
Well, they were always joking about my decorating for Christmas because it, for them it seemed like, you know, for some people it seemed like I was over-decorating because I loved Christmas and I loved to decorate for that. And so they'd always joke and tease me about that. Trying to think of some other ones as well where they would maybe tease me or tell funny stories about things that I might have done. Oh, maybe taking a long time in the bathroom. That's another one they even joke about, too.
What are you proudest of?
Well, I guess I'm proud that we adopted two kids and we gave them a home, and despite their struggles, that they have done reasonably well in life, and they have their own unique abilities, and so I'm proud we did that, and that's probably more long lasting than any of the schooling and accomplishments that either Bill or myself did, because Bill got a Doctor of Ministries degree, I got a Juris Doctor degree, and those are fine and are accomplishments, but in terms of what really lasts for eternity, it's our relationships and the people that we hold dear.
When in life have you felt most alone?
I suppose there maybe was an element when I was in college before I met Bill, but I would say that I felt most alone the day that Bill died, when I realized that that part of my life with him was over with, and that I didn't have my closest friend to talk to.
If you could hold on to one memory, just one, from your life forever, what would that be?
Oh, there probably would be a number of them, but I think the one that I would love to hold on to would be my time in Hawaii with Bill on one of our trips. We love to be in Hawaii, and I guess it would be a trip when he was still in good health, back in the early 2000s, when he was still in good health, and we had our good times in Hawaii, sitting at the beach and watching the sunset. Yeah.
How has your life been different than what you'd imagined it or hoped it would have been?
That's a hard question because I'm not sure if I had always totally envisioned. I guess it's turned out different in a couple of respects. I always thought that Bill and I would have a retirement where we would be able to travel and do things together before his health would have an impact on his life, and that didn't happen. And then I suppose I would have to say that my life has turned out different in the respect that I thought by this time I would have grandchildren, and I don't have grandchildren because neither Rachel or Paul are married, and so that is different than what I imagined as well.
How would you like to be remembered? Didn't we kind of go over
that? Yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, you like to say you don't, but I guess I do have some regrets. I regret that I in a number of ways. I'm always a list person, a check off the list, a doer. I regret sometimes that I was so much a list person that sometimes I forgot relationships around me. I regret that I didn't spend more time with Bill towards the end, talking with him and asking him more questions. Because again, you always think you have more time and you really don't know. And so you really, again, it goes back to living in the moment and taking advantage of the present, because you don't know if you have the future. And so I regret that. I guess I regret, not spending probably more time with my kids when I should have. But I think my major thing is with Bill, not talking with him enough at towards the end about some of the things, thinking back about the good memories that we had and sharing and reminiscing and stuff like that. And I guess I regret maybe not asking Mom and Dad and my grandparents questions when I should have had the opportunity.
Is there something about me that you've always wanted to know but have never asked? This is your chance.
Okay. Well, I guess at some point I'd like to talk with you about spiritual things. That would be the question I would want to ask, is where you are spiritually and that.
Okay. Well, I can give you a little bit on that right now. I have always cherished dearly how I was brought up, and so thankful for how I was brought up. And I would not say to anyone that I have disavowed everything that I was taught when I was young, but what has happened since then is that I have opened myself up to being more of a searcher and exploring other spiritual paths, and I greatly enjoyed that because I have discovered so many things about other spiritual paths, like Buddhism and Islam, and well, there's several of them, but that's just two examples. And I'm still exploring, and when Mom was near the end of her life, she and I had many conversations about spirituality, and she surprised me by coming out and basically telling me that she was kind of thinking on along the same lines as I was, that she had a strong belief, but she also knew that it was a belief, that she had no actual, it was a faith. And things not seen, but that she wouldn't know until she actually passed away. So she was open to the, she and I was always talking about the possibility of other life forms in the universe, and we were very open to that, and we like science fiction and all that kind of stuff, and so we were very open to the fact that we know very little. We're kind of blind, you know, and we believe in what we believe by faith, and so there may be a lot that out there to discover. So I guess that's where I'm at. I know that's kind of wishy-washy and vague, but that's my answer.
Oh, okay, thank you, Trish.
I just lost the message. Yeah, if you can bring it up, I'm gonna. Have you ever experienced any miracles? What you would consider a miracle?
I guess the closest thing might be a couple of times where I remember when we lived in Conover and we were in the car on the way from Conover to Eagle River. We were traveling in close to town, and there was a car that was coming at a high speed behind us, and I happened to look in my mirror and I saw it coming, and I didn't think we were going to survive, but somehow the car got around us. I don't know how, but I often thought that was a miracle because it was really a close call.
Mm-hmm.
And
was there anybody coming towards you when that car went around you?
There were cars coming. He had to go around on the other side and the shoulder. Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yikes.
And in terms of other miracles, I'm trying to think. Are you talking about miracles that happened to me or miracles that I
Yes, heard? You have happened to you.
I can't say for sure any specifics, but I think that God does protect you from a lot of things, and sometimes he protects you from things you don't even know about. So whether that's a miracle or not, I don't know. But that's the only thing that I can ever attest to.
What was the most profound spiritual moment in your life?
I suppose when as a child at 12, I went forward at a vacation Bible school and confessed my sin and that I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and became a Christian. At that point, I recognized that I was a sinner, but I'm sure as a young child I did not fully understand the Christian life, and nobody really does at that point because you're starting as a babe, and so it was an experience over time, you know, as you grow and understand your relationship with God.
Do you remember who was the influence at that vacation Bible school, who was teaching it?
No, I can't remember at the time. I'm sure I was 12 years old, so I'm trying to remember who was teaching at the time. I think it was out at the North Star Church.
I was just going to ask you that. I figured it might be.
Yeah. So I don't know if it was some of the teachers that were out there or if it was some of our teachers as well, because sometimes I think they work together. So I don't know if the Hodgins were involved or some of the other Sunday school teachers.
So I the next question is kind of redundant for you because I already know the answer to the first part.
Decline it.
It's a two-part question about, do you believe in the afterlife? I know you do. But the second part is, what do you think it will be like?
Okay, that is a very interesting question. Recently, with my group of ladies called Heaven Bound Women, one of the first books we studied had to do with heaven by Anne Lutz, which is Billy Graham's daughter. And subsequent to that, I've also read some other material on the subject. And I really think that there is an afterlife, and that what it will be like is not being angels flying on clouds or sitting on clouds. But actually, when we get to heaven, according to what the Bible says, if you read it and understand it, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that while we will, in one sense, we will have different types of bodies, like what Jesus had when he came back from the dead, we will have work to do. And that, and according to our abilities and what we've done here on earth and how we've grown, and that there will be opportunities for, you know, for us to do different things. There will be a new heaven and a new earth coming together. And so we will have responsibilities. And I often think there's a universe out there and God has created it. And there may be, like you were saying, life on other planets or whatever is going out there. Mm-hmm. And I often envision maybe I'll have the opportunity to travel to other planets and do whatever work that God wants us to do. And then we come before him and present our offerings to him of the work that we have done. So mm-hmm. I think there will be opportunities for us to be able to continue to use our abilities in heaven. So it's not like we're going to be sitting around strumming harps, you know. So I think that yes, and the aspect is that we will have the pure joy of, in one sense, of always having Jesus and God with us in that spiritual realm. But we'll have opportunities to work. And the Bible talks about that there is a mansion. And when you look at the description of the mansion that we each have, it will be huge. I can't remember the dimensions that were talked about in Revelations, but when we studied this passage, there's enough space in this description that would take care of every man, woman, and child if they chose to become a Christian. So it's
basically a TARDIS.
Huh?
It's basically a TARDIS.
A TARDIS. Yes, it's bigger on the inside than on the outside. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I think there's an afterlife, and there's going to be, I think, you know, whether we think work today is kind of like, you know, maybe there's a negative to it, but I think there will be opportunities for us to be able to do things. So I think beyond our imaginations.
Yeah, that when I was a kid, I always used to tell myself that we have no idea what heaven's going to be like, but it's going to be very cool.
yeah, that's right. And beyond, we can conjure up things, but it probably will be even better. But if you look at the description in Revelation and other parts of the Bible, it talks about this new Jerusalem, this new heaven, a new earth, and about how people coming into the city, and there's commerce, there's things going on. It's the way it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. in the sense, in the beginning.
The last question on this list, not necessarily the last question. When you meet God, have you thought about what you want to say to him?
I guess I would say, Lord, thank you for your son and for saving me, a wretch that I am. You know, like Amazing Grace, the song, was it Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. When we think about, you know, we can look good on the outside, but we all realize what selfish people we are. We may not commit murder, but we are selfish. We think about ourselves. God took the ultimate punishment so that I could have the opportunity to be reunited with him. And so I would say, merci beaucoup. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other thing that you would like to say before we end the interview on any other topic?
I never thought about it, but right now I'm going through the grieving process because Bill passed away in October, and so that's a new a new journey for me, and so I guess I'm at this point learning a new chapter in my life, and so I'm not sure. I think sometimes, you know, what the future will hold in terms of dealing with this and what the Lord has in store for me.
All right. Well, thank you, Sharon. This is the end of the conversation. sure you're finished?